Good morning. This is Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Chuck Hinman. One of the quirks of life in Rhode Island is that we give directions based on landmarks where things used to be. For example, you might say, take a left there where the Almax used to be. For those who don't remember, Almax was once the largest grocery store chain in Rhode Island before falling to the competition and closing in the mid-90s. Today, as our series One Square Mile Johnston continues, we visit a place where a lot of things used to be and where the one thing that was there first endures the longest. Here in Johnston, a parking lot just off Hartford Avenue near Killingley Street is on the National Register of Historic Places. Well, not the parking lot exactly, but what lies just beyond its northern edge behind a chain-link fence. It's a roughly rectangular patch of exposed stone, maybe 30 by 15 feet, bounded on all sides by fence and surrounded by the parking lot, by an auto body shop, and by the off-ramp from Route 6 East. On the list of historic places, this is called the Ochi Spring Quarry, described as a remnant of the Aboriginal soapstone industry. We get on to the site. I was taken here by a local man, Arthur Iannelli, a member of the Johnston Historical Society with a long-time interest in Ochi Spring.
See, that's one of them.
He points to a shape cut into the stone's surface. It's a bowl, he says, started some 3,000 years ago and left unfinished.
There's a lot of them in here. But what they would do, they make that mound like that, then they would undercut it, chip it, and pop it. And then they had to work the outside first, smooth it off. Then they would take the inside out by abrasive round stones and just sand and that, and they make the bowl. Then they would heat them up on the fire.
Soapstone, or steatite, is a relatively soft stone that can be easily shaped by using simple tools. Archaeologists and historians who have examined this site say it was worked by the indigenous people here several thousand years ago to make a variety of soapstone bowls.
I mean, the really interesting thing about this place is that it is an industry that has remained there unimpacted for several thousand years.
That's Jay Waller, a senior archaeologist at the Public Archaeology Laboratory in Pawtucket. He has made a study of the Ochi Spring Quarry.
And you can go there and see the entire stage of the process of what these people were doing.
But who were these people? Waller says that remains a mostly unanswered question. He says there's little evidence that they were the ancestors of the Native Americans who lived in the area when the colonists came.
The material culture, the artifacts, and the way these people lived is so different than what we see the Narragansett do that it's really hard to tie it. It's not to say that they weren't, it's just how these people lived was quite different from what we saw in the contact period and the period immediately preceding European contact.
One avenue of investigation into the lives of the people who worked this quarry involves chemical analysis of the soapstone at Ochi Spring, something that Waller says is in its infancy. His colleague at the Public Archaeology Lab, Duncan Ritchie, explains.
You can actually fingerprint this stone based on different proportions of trace elements. So you can develop a signature or a fingerprint of a soapstone from a particular source, and then you can take archaeological specimens, fragments of soapstone bowls from archaeological sites, and subject them to the same trace element analysis. And so the objective would be to match a source sample with a artifact from an archaeological site, and then you could infer how it was traded or distributed.
Historically, the quarry seemed to go missing for many years, buried over time under the earth. It was rediscovered in 1878, according to the National Register of Historic Places. The landowner at that time, Horatio Angel, uncovered the quarry during construction projects on his farm. The site contained hundreds of cartloads of prehistoric debris and tools, along with soapstone bowls in various stages of production. Private collectors, representatives of major universities, and an inquisitive public descended on the quarry, taking away many artifacts undocumented. But some ended up at the Peabody Museum at Harvard and at the Rhode Island Historical Society. Also on the site of the quarry was a nearby spring, Horatio Angel started the Ochi Spring Water Company there in the 1880s, producing mineral water and flavored sodas. The building housed offices, the bottling works, and a third-floor dance hall. It was destroyed in a spectacular fire sometime in the 1920s or early 1930s. Another vanished landmark from this site was an octagonal house built in the mid to late 1800s as part of a nationwide architectural fad. It was demolished in the 1960s. The listing of Ochi Spring on the National Register of Historic Places came in 1978. It does not guarantee preservation of the site, which sits on private land, but Jay Waller from the Public Archaeology Lab says there is more to study here and at other similar sites.
There is stuff that can be learned. We're always trying to trace migration patterns of these people. Where did they come from? Where did they move from?
And where did they go? That's the biggest question that seems to hang in the air as you stand at the Ochi Spring Quarry today, looking at what they left behind. Chuck Hinman, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for One Square Mile provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.